This is Read On Air.
Have you ever wondered what it takes to be a talking book narrator? I decided, having listened to so many talking books, that it was about time to find out how and why they do the wonderful job that they do. I'm delighted to be joined today in the studio by Kate Akello. Would you like to tell us how you became a talking books narrator?
So it's quite a personal thing for me, but I grew up with a blind mother and a blind uncle. Very, very capable people, very proud of them, but they were also avid readers when they could see. And so obviously when they lost their sight, it was very important to them that they still had the books that they enjoy reading. I was brought up always hearing talking books. When mum's ironing, when mum's in the bath, when mum's working out, she always has a talking book on. And to be honest, she can stay up until about 4 a.m. listening to them. They're addictive. And I realised as I got older how much an important thing it is for her to have that available to her, that really it would be silly if I didn't approach that as a skill that maybe I could help out with. The first time that my mum heard the audiobook, she found it online at 2 a.m. and I went into her bedroom and saw a very bleary-eyed, tired mother who decided that because it was my first audiobook, she had to stay up the entire night listening to it. And actually it was just such an emotional moment, really, because for some people it's, you know, it's just an audio, but for me it's the only time that my mum gets to really see everything that I do as its whole. Obviously on stage there's always some visuals missing, but an audiobook, it's just you, it's just the voice, and it's just the story. And so my mum experiencing that and being able to give that gift to her, and my uncle as well, was really, really special. And I'm so glad that I knocked on those doors and sent those emails.
One of the things I love about having professional actors reading the talking books is you are our eyes, and you're the person who puts the nuance into the voices and brings them alive and off the page.
When you do read a book, I must develop about 70 different accents in my head, and you always have voices for different characters. I remember in my audition for Here, I decided that I'd show them all the accents that I could do, so I chose a court scene of a book called Vernon Godlittle, where everybody was being questioned. And basically, I think we had an African in there, we had someone from Scotland. But actually, the more variation you can get, the more realistic it is to how you'd imagine it.
Do you have a favourite accent?
Well, I was born and bred in Newcastle, so I do kind of enjoy going back into the northeast accent when I can. I think it's always important that as an actor and a reader that you remember your roots and that you appreciate them and you nurture them as often as possible.
And what are you reading at the moment?
Amy Wilde, and it's by Helen Skelton, who actually, if people watched Blue Peter maybe a couple of years ago, she did a lot of the comic relief and the sports relief things. She did Thousands of Miles in the Amazon Forest. So this is actually set in the Amazon. A young girl from the northeast goes with her Aunt Marge, and we're about to find out all the adventures and the mischief that she gets up to. She's quite a naughty kid, which I...
Can you relate to that?
I can relate to that a little bit, but...
From a novice to an old hand...
I am very much an old hand.
I'm delighted to be joined by a voice that is not only familiar to me, but I hope to many of our listeners, Penelope Freeman.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So tell me, what have you been reading?
I have just actually finished The Inheritance by Jenny Pitman. It's a tale of doping and double dealing and sabotage and all kinds of other things. But yeah, it's been good fun.
I can't wait. It'll be one to brighten up the winter's evenings. So how did you start as a narrator for talking books?
Very, very simply, actually. I had a partially sighted grandmother. We were always trying to get her to listen to talking books. So I applied to the talking book studios. I wrote and I wrote and I bombarded and didn't get seen. And then finally I did, and sadly that coincided with my father becoming partially sighted. And my mum, who was an avid reader, got addicted to them too, so they would sit side by side and listen to talking books. It's just been historically in my family, and I like as many times as I can to come into the studios and do it. I do it professionally elsewhere.
And do you have a favourite genre that you like to read, or will you tackle anything?
I tend to get stories that are quite women-centric. I would secretly like to do more kids' books.
It reminds us of that, those wonderful days when your mum would read to you before you went to bed. Mm. And a good and sympathetic reading is one of the most comforting things I think you can have.
It's lovely for all kinds of reasons, because it does unscramble your brain. You just put your, you know, there's nothing worse than going to bed putting your head on the pillow and thinking, oh, what have I got to do tomorrow? And, oh, I didn't kind of do that today or whatever. And you end up not going to sleep. I'm sure it's sleepless nights. People have them all the time because they are constantly having busy brains now. And it's a wonderful way of giving your brain a massage. That's the best way I can describe it.
So have there ever been books where you've read the first few chapters and just gone, I actually can't do this, and you've had to hand them back to the Talking Books Library and say, give me something else?
As a narrator, no. There was one I was very close to again, and I realised I was finding it quite disturbing. And it was only when I got a little bit further on in the preparation that I realised somebody had also been prepping the book, and they clearly had got to a point in the book where the prep, the pencil marks on the page had gone, and I realised that that was the point that they had probably given the book back. I thought, well, if RNIB had had difficulty already getting a narrator, and this clearly was one that was on the list to be recorded, I had to overcome that.
You were talking about the pencil marks in the margin.
Mm.
I've always wondered how the narrators keep the continuity. Do you keep notes at the front of the book?
Every reader does it differently, and every reader uses a different format. I read a book twice before I record it. The first is just to get a gist of the story, to get an idea of the pace of it and the genre and everything. And then the second, where I sit down and every single character I write out. And then the other thing I always do, the day of a recording, I go through the entire cast of characters. I try and remember as many as I can and put a voice to each one of them.
I always think that the narrators are discovering the plot at the same pace as I am, so not to bring in any vocal spoilers is quite an art, I should imagine.
Strangely enough, in a way, it's not. You have to be in the moment. You have to make it now. When it gets exciting, your voice changes and you're going, oh, this is about to happen and that's about to happen. And you modulate accordingly, but you have to be in the moment to do it. Hopefully, it stays fresh that way.
Two of the amazing team up in the Talking Books studio.
This is Read On Air.